The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Monday, 21st day of May, 2018, and I can't believe I'm saying the 21st of May because it still seems like December of 2017. I have Mark Anderson in studio. Hello, Mark.
Hello, great to be back, John. It's been a couple of months.
Yes, sir, it has. And you've been out and about. Before we go into anything, you're going to London tomorrow.
That's right, to UK, among other things, to cover the media on trial conference that the powers that be canceled, but the powers that should be managed to keep the event going, so I'm going to help do that.
Now, which museum was this to be held at?
The city of Leeds near Manchester.
Okay, that's not a fly-by-night operation, not supported with, little tiny gifts. That's a pretty big museum.
Yeah, and it's run by the city, and so the people that don't want the Syrian situation accurately and truthfully explained conspired, let's just use the word, colluded to shut down that venue. But the people that had the tickets, that have the tickets, are keeping them, and the event was rescheduled at a hotel, and I'm going to go cover it and help it happen, among other things, while I'm there about 3 weeks.
You know, you told me that prior to the program today, and I said, you know, last week I was watching Outnumbered. This is another one of Fox's opinion shows, you know, how they take the facts willy-nilly and then put their spin on it, give you their opinion, and then ask you what's your opinion of their opinion. And last week, I swear to God, Outnumbered, it's you're flanked by two women, man in the middle, two women, of course, with the dress, and it's a cocktail dress or a party dress that's hiked up somewhere around, I think Bob Hope made at the time, a tasteless joke. If the women's skirts get any shorter, they'll have two more cheeks to powder. Okay, in that same vein, and of course they got the 5-inch heels on as well, looking real sexy and dapper, and I'm watching this, and one of them, it's a black woman, she managed to get, I think in a 2.5-minute segment, at least 5 or 6 references to democracy, and then wide-eyed and innocently poo-pooing the Gaza Strip incident. These people have been over there, and this isn't just about Jerusalem. These people have been railroaded, moved out, run over, shot, starved. You give it a term, give it a name, or give it a sort of human torture. That's really what it is, while they're stealing all their stuff, all their lands. And they got the mitigated gall. I heard Sean Hannity. I mentioned this, I think, one day last week. Sean Hannity had a woman reporting from the Israeli side of the wall. And as she's on the telephone with this guy, there's gunshots going on. And she says, they're doing exercises. And then she thought about it for a second. Oh, they're doing live exercises. Yeah, literally what you heard was them shooting Palestinians. And they're in this country, and I'm so glad you're doing this because it's aptly titled, by the way, Mark. I'm so glad you're doing this because in this country, it's all spun. If you hear about it at all, it's all spun. It's the Palestinians' fault for them getting shot.
Yeah, that's getting real old.
Real fast. And the people that are paying attention around the world, they're just sitting there looking at this and going, really? How can America be so dumb? Well, I'll tell you how they can be dumb. You withhold the information from them. That's how they can be so ignorant. I won't say stupid. Ignorant.
Indeed. The American people, the American news consumer, unfortunately, except for a probably measurable part of the population, relies mostly on American media. They don't watch the CBC in Canada online, although they could. They don't watch much, if any, of the BBC, although that wouldn't do them much good anyway in Britain. But Americans are predisposed toward American media, whereas I think a lot of Europeans listen to their own domestic media, but also American media, and they see this huge contrast. Two completely different worldviews, and Americans are seen as, and Americans largely are, living in kind of a news terrarium.
Yeah.
Thinking we're free and being hopelessly lost in the maze of the dominant media, the maze that they create. And the Palestinian deception, just give it two words, Palestinian deception, carries over to a degree, at least in style, if not in degree, to these domestic shootings, including the Santa Fe school, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. The media spin and the wording, the verbiage, the script, it's pre-written. You know what they're going to say before they say it. If jumping to conclusions were an athletic event, the U.S. media would be in perfect physical condition. And it's sloppy, it's overgeneralized, it's presumptuous, it's wrong, it's inaccurate, it's everything but what it should be.
I'll give you a classic example of that. Didn't we have a little shooting out in Las Vegas?
Whatever it was, talk about ambiguity.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he shot 400 yards out of his hotel room. He was hanging upside down. It's a wonder they didn't say that. I mean, 400 yards is almost a quarter mile.
Yeah.
And that's where the problems just begin.
With a bump stock.
Right, the evil, nasty bump stocks.
Yeah,
right.
It malfunctions and misfires or does not operate as advertised half the time. I know what the static pull trigger concept is. You're not doing anything altering the weapon whatsoever. You're just there to slide into a rhythm with a semi-automatic rifle, and supposedly it's going to cycle, and your trigger finger is going to just pull the trigger just enough that it fires rounds in succession. Yeah, I've tried them before. You know, half the time they don't work. And that damn thing, who moved in? The FBI. Who took all the surveillance camera information? The FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen anything out of the FBI? No.
Just as much as we've seen out of what really happened to the Pentagon. Oops, even a little less.
Or Lavoie-Finicum, for that matter. I was shocked that the FBI was, without really anybody asking, here's the footage of that roadblock and Lavoie-Finicum trying to kill people. Yeah. I was shocked that they put... It was almost as if they knew the gig was up, so let's try to get ahead of this and control the narrative.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to be accused of withholding it, so look like we're being open and forward and proactive.
So they can be in on something that 46 people die versus one, and they want to get ahead of that? You know, I don't know if people have really considered this, but how good of a Federal Bureau of Investigation can it be when it was started by blackmailing crossdresser?
Well, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, like a lot of those agencies in the early 20th century, largely, at least partially, were started due to the organized crime of La Cosa Nostra. And they weren't really intended, maybe, at least not meant to be cemented in concrete as permanent organizations. There was a compelling reason to have a federal police force, bootlegging and all that. But, once that died down, they really should have been disbanded or at least very significantly shrunk down. But, you know, what we're dealing with now is where the media distorts the landscape, the informational landscape, so much that between what the police say and the media says, whether it's the media talking about Palestine internationally or you come close to home, either way, you kind of have this convergence of problems where you can't really believe much, if anything, that you're hearing. So you can't make policy. You can't construct solutions.
Right.
And if you never construct solutions, you're just waiting for the next shooting. And then the same narrative comes out again, the deadliest shooting since. You know, this is one of their favorite verbiage things, the deadliest shooting ever since, and always saying deadliest ever since and qualifying it a little bit. They're constantly drawing a line from one shooting to the next, to the next, to the next, to say, see, this is a growing problem. You and I, John, look at it and see a pattern.
Right.
Where the same anomalies, approximately the same anomalies, are always showing up. Like, here's one that happened between yesterday and today. Yesterday, I'm examining the Austin American Statesman, and I'm not sure when our next commercial is. But I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at a lot of anomalies, such as one article here by a Katie Sensick of the Austin American Statesman.
Oh, by the way, we refer that to being the Austin, un-American statesman.
The un-American statesman. Right. The Santa Fe, the deadliest school shooting in the state since the UT Tower at the University of Texas, the Tower shooting in 1966. But then she goes on to list all these Texas shootings, and it includes where a 16-year-old boy accidentally fired a semi-automatic handgun into the floor at a high school, and another one where a 16-year-old boy in Italy shot a 15-year-old girl he previously dated. And then there's another where, let me see here.
In Italy? What does that have to do with Texas?
No, Italy, Texas.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
One in Ennis, Texas, near Italy, which is south of Dallas, a 16-year-old boy fatally shot himself at a school. So they're lumping in an apparent suicide and other acts of non-aggression. Here, a 22-year-old woman shot at the school principal's empty car. You know, these, not all shootings are born equal. These are ones like a suicide, another shooting at a car, and not all of these are acts of aggression where murder is the intent. Right. And yet she's lumping these together to make it really sound worse than it really is. I mean, a gun goes off accidentally in one case. That's not the same as what reportedly and supposedly happened at Santa Fe, where this young man, Demetrios, went in and killed 10 and wounded 10, we're told. That's hardly the same as somebody shooting himself or somebody shooting at an empty car or a gun going off accidentally. So what this is about, it's about the gun. It's about the fact that a gun is involved. It's not about the severity of the crime. A lot of these were not murder that have happened, and right. Yet the press lumps them together, lumps murders together with accidental shootings, apparent suicides. What they're getting at, the core issue, the common denominator, is that there's a gun involved. The psychology here is to criminalize the very fact that a gun is involved. In other words, they're trying to get it to where even having a gun is a crime, even if there's no crime committed. The mere fact that you have a gun,
right,
would be a crime. That's the incremental psychology here. And whenever they in their headlines, they say active shooter, as if there's such a thing as a passive shooter. and they'll say, how to explain the latest school shooting. Shooting. It's not a shooting in Santa Fe, if what we're told is true. It's a murder. It's the felony crime of murder. Whether it's with a baseball bat, a screwdriver, arson, or a gun.
Well, I'll tell you the exact reason why.
The shooting is not the event.
Well, and that the reason why that narrative is there, because if you were to come out and say, if the governor of Texas or the sheriff of whatever county would come out and say, we're investigating the murder of 10 school children.
Right.
That would totally change the entire story.
Exactly. shooting, 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 shooting. They're talking about a specific kind of weapon because the weapon is the focus.
Right. And not the, well, there's some other inconsistencies. I don't know how much time you wanted to spend on this.
Well, I'm looking at the, we're going to give Katie Sencik, it's P-S, like Sam, E-N-C-I-K. We're going to give her phone number because she put it in the newspaper.
Oh.
512-445-3869. Again, 512-445-3869. Obviously, the Austin Un-American Statesman wants these reporters' numbers and emails in here, so give her a call and tell her to stop lumping in non-aggression with aggression and stop digging through the bottom of the barrel just to make a story sound more significant than it really is. Knock off the exaggeration, knock off the overgeneralization.
You know, when I first came down here to Austin area, I used to read the Statesman. And then I started to notice a distinct change in who their authors of the stories were, the subject matter they were covering, and the slant that they were covering. And I used to refer to Austin as being little Moscow on the Colorado, because it's this is University of Texas, and when you can crack the University of Texas and having them pulling down statutes and this hate stuff going on, you know, it's like, oh gosh, jump in a raft and float the rest of the way down to Colorado. Get the hell out of town. There's actually four cities that are pretty much lost. That's really not Texas, even though Austin is the capital. It used to be Keep Austin Weird, as if it wasn't strange enough, and Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. It's like they are metropolitan cities from somebody else's idea of what the new Texas should look like.
Yes, I know what you mean. And just to kind of give this a little bit of a wrapping up kind of feel, like on the front of yesterday's Austin American Statesman, it has a subhead, you know, 10 killed, teen jailed, explosives found on the campus left by gunmen. Now, this morning, what did we hear? Nothing about explosives in the news, much if any. But all of a sudden we hear that police reportedly, supposedly, and allegedly had a 25 to 30 minute shootout with young hapless Demetrios. So we're led to believe that he had a 38 and a shotgun, no AR-15 this time, oddly. You know, the gun to hate, the gun we always hate, the AR-15. Suddenly, somehow, an AR-15's not there, whatever it is. So this kid has a 38 pistol. He's 16 years old. He supposedly has a shotgun. And the police engage him for almost a half hour, and yet they take him alive, meaning they didn't hit him. But even the mainstream press admitted that some of the kids that got killed might have been killed by the police and not by Demetrios at all.
Oh.
This slipped through the little filter somehow. And so, oops.
Well, here's a couple other items here. CNN reported that Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez said that a second person believed to be a student has been detained, but there were no more details. And here's the question, will the media memory hole this part of the story? The strange interview features a student witness saying, "It was real this time. It wasn't real last time." The reporter failed to follow up on that bizarre statement and implies that it was a prior event. Now, critics commented on the video that the students look like she's reading a script. I saw the interview, by the way. Two doctors were interviewed by a news source, and the reporter said that she was aware that the hospital had just done a mass casualty drill to prepare for something like this. And the second doctor said that they are always prepared for these drills. Now, why is there no video uploads from high school students who had cell phones? Nothing. Are there cameras at the schools that recorded the video? Why is the media silent on whether the alleged shooter, Demetrius, is using psych drugs like SSRIs, even though psych drugs have been associated with almost all school shootings? Did the media coordinate its immediate uniform narrative and condemnation of the NRA? Well, there's a couple other things here, but we're coming up to break, but glaring inconsistencies. It just seems that just about the time they get prepared, and boom, right on the heels of it, we have a mass shooting. Not murder, a mass shooting. We'll be back. Mark Anderson is in studio, and he's my guest.
likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back. Mark Anderson in studio, and we were just talking about the Santa Fe shooting. And, you know, that's a very important point, and I'm glad you brought that up, Mark. It is murder. We have laws in the books that they have for the quote-unquote terrorist. There's enough law in the books to cover anything or anybody that a terrorist might be accused of doing. Property damage, i.e. blowing up a building, killing a cop, killing innocent people premeditatively, that's murder.
Last I knew, everything is on the books and plenty of firearms regulations, many of them useless or needless, are already on the books. There's already control of guns to a point. We need to look at this, provided we're getting accurate information in the first place, as the felony crime of murder and treat it as such and not focus on the weapon but focus on the crime. Is that so hard to understand? I was only able to find one person that would speak total sanity about this. The Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick got into a little bit of truth when he said that the newest generation of video games and the realism they have and how they try and sell the military and use them as recruitment tools are a pernicious influence on people you know, in their teens, and you combine that with psychotropic drugs and broken homes, and you begin to create a moral vacuum that's filled with the wrong influences. And Dan Patrick mentioned abortion, which does cheapen the value of human life, and that's taken many, many millions of people off the earth. And that's all good and well, but I finally talked to David Thweet. Who remembers David Thweet at the Herald School District? He's the superintendent there that at a small school district up in up toward the Panhandle, about a couple hours northwest of Dallas. That's that school district that began arming teachers and staff way back in 2008. I wrote about it in American Free Press. I called him today. I'm the first reporter to have called him.
Really?
He got a little bit of calls after Sandy Hook. He got a few calls after Parkland, Florida, another hornet's nest of contradictions there. And I was the first to call him, and I told him some of my views, and he went on to say that
he's actually, by the way, folks, for accuracy, if you don't know Mark Anderson, he is an accurate man. He's now referring to his notes. I just, since we're not video streaming this, I just want people to understand how thorough you are.
Well, he told me that that's what we do, meaning concealed carry for certain trained teachers, concealed carry for certain trained other staffers, support staff, always concealed, always the element of surprise. A would-be shooter knows the school is armed, but they don't know who is armed and where, but they're spread out sufficiently so no one part of the school is vulnerable. And, quote, that's what we do. We take care of the kids here, K through 12. We're charged with their protection. We're being like the parents. And they used to use fragmented ammo, he said, but then they found out that that ammo, which would fragment to cut down on damage within the building if there ever was any rounds being fired off, right, that it could actually be blocked with like heavy plywood. And then he told me, and he wasn't being sarcastic, he said, if somebody comes in here, quote, they're going to get real live ammo, end quote. And I asked him why he's so straightforward, so unambiguous, so easy to understand, knows what to do, and does it. And you hear Greg Abbott going around about roundtable discussions, as much as I think Greg Abbott is a reasonably good governor, going on with his politically correct roundtable discussions. Everybody's in charge, nobody's in charge. Everybody's right, nobody's right. We're going to have this whirlwind of views and counterviews where the simple thing where banks are protected, politicians are protected, judges are protected. Michael Bloomberg, who hates guns, he tells us, has a whole little army that surrounds him. Everybody's protected but students. And we're told that we have to dance around that issue, except for David Thweet. And then we're going to talk about all the peripherals that matter either very little or not at all. And we're not going to do it. We're actually saying we're not going to protect these kids. David Thweet is the lone man in the wilderness who's been doing it since 2008. Nobody's calling him anymore.
And meanwhile, that's because it works and it goes against their narrative. That's easy for you and I to understand. But mainstream America, if you were on Fox News right now and you were being interviewed and they gave you the infamous 6-minute segment, you would have to spend 5.5 minutes explaining that statement because you would be jumped on almost immediately. And this is the logic. These are the words that the American people are not hearing. This is a totally controlled media. They'll read anything that's on a teleprompter, and if you don't, guess what? You lose your $1 million a year job.
If it said Alfred J. Fudd, I'm Alfred J. Fudd, I'm a millionaire, I own a mansion and a yacht, like the old cartoon, they'd read it.
Mark, I've actually seen videos of somebody pranking them, actually breaking into a computer that lays out the format of what's on the teleprompter and actually putting verbiage in there that they read on the air.
Like,
it's mindless reading. And most people don't even know that they're sitting there in front of that camera and they're not talking from their logic or from their brain or from their heart or even from their butt. Reading it off a teleprompter.
If it said every good boy deserves fudge right after this from Palestine, they'd read every good boy deserves fudge.
And then some with nuts. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll also include your phone calls, 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it.
All right, we are back. You still write from time to time for American Free Press, right?
Yes, I'm still a writer for them, AmericanFreePress.net, covering Bilderberg, Congress, Global Cities is a big thing. I also have my own brand, Stop the Press's News, and I have a blog, TheTruthHound.com. I have a Steemit account, that's the blockchain. It's given me a little trouble. We'll talk about that another time, and a Facebook page. And so on. So I'm spreading out, going to the UK, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, leaving tomorrow out of Austin. Norwegian Airlines added an Austin departure.
You told me that this is ridiculously cheap. I don't think on short notice I can fly to New York City for what your plane fare is round trip to London.
Yeah, it's cool. And so just expanding my horizons a bit and, again, getting the Media on Trial event that's going to talk about the mainstream media's complicity in distorting completely the Syrian narrative to pin all of this on Bashar al-Assad. lying about the chemical attacks, exposing the White Helmets, connections between the British government funding the White Helmets, using them as a propaganda tool, most reporters reporting on Syria, setting up shop in Lebanon, setting up shop in other neighboring countries, never going on the ground in Syria. So we're really going to be putting the media on trial figuratively, but in that kind of format to show the collaboration, how they indirectly and directly aid the al-Nusra and ISIS and other elements, al-Qaeda. You know, we were told al-Qaeda was the enemy number one after 9/11, but somehow the U.S. has managed to work with al-Qaeda elements in the Mideast. Funny how that works.
Yeah.
And, you know, we worry about confused 16-year-old school shooters being a little off base. Well, you know, how neurotic and absolutely spastic crazy is that, that we help known established terrorist groups just because we want to overthrow Assad so badly? Evidently, he doesn't line up with the wishes of the Rothschild bloodlines, well, and doesn't want to do their banks.
And Mark, let's back this down to some good old American common sense. Where is it written that the United States, if they don't like a particular leader of a country, a sovereign nation that was duly elected, not once but twice by his own people, I think by a margin of 85% both times, where is it written that the United States can just go in and replace a guy? They've stayed away from dictator pretty much with him because of the people. They're pretty enamored with who they voted for over there. They like the guy. He's an eye surgeon. He wasn't a politician, and he didn't even want the job. It was supposed to be his brother's job. So he took the role. He's been doing a pretty damn good job of running Syria in spite of everything. 8 years of war against him, more than 500,000 people dead. The United States, with the exposure of Russia, they would have already have fallen if Russia wasn't involved, because at that point in time, you start shooting Russian troops, shooting down their planes, whatever the case may be, I think Mr. Putipoo over in Russia would have something to say about that. So it slowed their agenda down, and then what was exposed is who is doing the funding of the anti-Assad forces to depose him. Fits exactly, not kind of, sort of, exactly with the Project for New American Century of replacing the seven dictators, the seven bad guys in the Middle East.
What Wesley Clark talked about, right.
Exactly. And I'm... Mark, you know, many people have banged on me over the years, and this is really a frustration point with me, of how stupid the American people are. Mark, how stupid would you be if you didn't learn to read or write, or you didn't have schooling, you weren't taught to think for yourself? In other words, not just form an opinion based on somebody else's opinion. You actually had to have some cognitive stuff going on there. You didn't learn what to think. You learned how to think. If that's the same thing. Now, input good information. They even come up with a term in this wonderful techno age of computers. Even before they came out with operating systems like Microsoft or what have you, you had to do your little home computer that used a floppy disk, a little plastic thing that replicated a grooved record. And you had to program it yourself with Fortran or BASIC. And if you miss something, it wouldn't work. And they come up with the term garbage in, garbage out. It's the same thing we're experiencing here with the American people's minds. Their head is being filled full of garbage. So what is coming out of their mouths? Garbage. And that's why I've still hung around. I could have hung up the Spurs years ago and probably been excused for doing so, because this has been so tough to keep going. We're one of the three networks that are left out there. There were many more. They've come and they've gone. We're still here.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the other one is Genesis, and 85% of their programming is not worth listening to. It's commercial crap is what it is. And that's okay. I guess you're going to run a network and you're not going to focus wholly and solely on what we do here. To me, that's a waste. That's an expenditure that I could not afford, nor would I want to do. If 85% of my program was just fluff and fix your own computer and we'll show you how to buff your car, whatever the case may be, you know, whatever. I am just amazed of how people can keep criticizing the American people because, Mark, you've seen the process. How many years have you been awake? You know? So you look at other people, and they've got this narrative that's been pumped into their head.
Mm-hmm.
And you got some crazy tinfoil hat-wearing guy comes up and says, well, you know, the real reason why that happened
is dot, dot, dot.
And the person goes, well, I've never heard of that. You're crazy. They have no verifiers, none whatsoever. American people have been living in a vacuum, an informational vacuum. Yeah, it's true we have the internet, but the same thing still applies. You can find anything on the internet. I mean, literally anything on YouTube that you want to watch. Rescuing little beat-up kittens? Yeah. A little plethora of stuff. But it gets lost. Just as I explained to Mr. Jeff Rentz one day, I said, look, Jeff, do yourself a favor and the people that read your website. I said, we're short of time. And I said, for the new people coming in, first thing they're going to do, they're going to see little crop circles or little grays or we've been visited before. You know, and that's all, you know, that's all banter for having a beer in a bar someplace and kicking around the crap. Okay?
Sure, sure.
But I told them, I said, there is enough on our plates right now without that extraneous distraction. And I says, and what it does is it limits the new people that are coming into you that's going to look at this and go, well, who the hell are these kooks? My friend told me, and they're talking about aliens? What is this stuff?
Right. They had my attention, then they lost me at aliens, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, practicing discernment, I suppose one way to explain the way out of this morass is the practice of practicing discernment. Like, for instance, when I'm reading about Santa Fe, just to get the final couple points in, a sub-headline on the very front of yesterday's Austin Un-American Statesman, Explosives Found on Campus Left by Gunmen. That qualified for a sub-headline, yet the only mention of it on two full pages of news is the school went on lockdown at 8 a.m. An unknown number of possible explosive devices were found at the school and at a separate site nearby. And that's the whole mention of that, even though it qualified for a headline. Number one, that's bad journalism to put it on a headline and only have two sentences about it. That's just not good journalism. If it qualifies for any part of a headline, it should be either a story or a significant part of a story. That's just journalism 101. But the thing is practicing discernment. The average person can begin to break out of this propaganda hole, this vacuum, by just asking the question, why was that mentioned only one day in this newspaper? Why wasn't it mentioned the next day? What about these explosives? Follow a lead. Think like a detective. You know, anybody can do that, but the mainstream media in being obsessed with blaming guns, in being obsessed with focusing on guns, getting away from the crime of murder like we talked about, they just completely skew the situation, and then little things like this just kind of pop up, and people don't see, they don't see the trees. All they see is this kind of forest of confusion. But mm-hmm. Something like that is a very significant lead that should be followed up on. And if it's not followed up on and it disappears, you have to wonder why.
You know, I'm sitting here just listening to you and the way your mind works and the way you're just taking this thing apart. It is bad journalism, but, you know, what I knew of journalism and how to write was its composition. But in the body of that composition is the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why.
And the how, if possible.
And how, if possible. And for what passes, if you want to make yourself really ill, watch CNN for a half hour.
Oh, I can't do it.
I have to force myself, and if I watch this Jake Tapper guy for any more than 5 minutes, I'm throwing things at the television. I think part of the screen now doesn't work because I hit it with something.
It's like trying to eat a piece of bread with soaked in motor oil.
Yeah, you know what it is, and you know you don't want it, but you know, just and I'm watching this. But here's the payback for this. This is what a lot of people aren't catching. CNN in one of their primetime shows, they're down to about 600,000 viewers.
Ooh,
and CNN is pumped into every damn airport in this country. People are inundated with CNN. I walked into a burger bar the other day, and there's CNN playing. But they only have, on prime time, their best shows, 600,000 people watching. They cannot continue to function. If they are really in a situation where they have to pay their bills through advertising, to pay their million-dollar babies to sit up there and confuse and confound in front of a camera,
right?
They're not even going to be able to make contract with these people. They are losing money right and left. So my question here is there somebody with a cash cow behind them, a bag full of money that, you know, well, let me open up the bag here. Let me play Santa Claus and throw a few million at you. This is not making business sense to me, because what I said to you prior, there were, in the last 3.5 years, there have been 18 networks, and I'm talking big networks, smaller networks, networks like mine, that have gone belly up. And we're talking about Clear Channel. We're talking about big entities such as that, or smaller ones that depend on just internet. They call it radio. It's really not. You're really not radio until you're actually broadcast in radio waves from a transmitter to a receiver. We qualify as that because we do have radio stations. We've got satellite. We've got online. We've got the archives. We've got all of that. We're a full-stop shop that we're still able to do for $11,500 a month, which is unheard of in the industry to begin with.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only way we were able to hang on. I started trimming the budget back in 2006. But having said all of that, we're still barely, we're not talking about $11.5 million a month or $111 million a month. We're talking about $11.5 to run the network. They've got a bigger overhead than what we do. How are they still there?
And why? You know, that question's come up with a beer in hand, and in other times, in other instances, with a notebook in hand. Sometimes a beer in one hand, notebook in the other. One of the things, and Ron Avery, who's here in the studio with me, we've talked about this among many other people, is that the media pays a dividend other than the money. In other words, the confusion that it sows and the deception that it brings about help other things profit. To keep the people fooled and bamboozled pays indirect dividends in other ways. They're willing to lose money, evidently, so they can gain elsewhere, because they fear an aroused public like nothing other. And that's one of the things of consolation here, is that they wouldn't try to control public opinion so much if they didn't fear it. An informed public scares them to death. Therefore, that's the incentive to control it. Yes, in many of their instances or their operations, they lose money. But my informed opinion, is that it pays other dividends elsewhere to keep the people fooled. So they're willing to lose here so they can gain somewhere else.
Well, I understand and appreciate your point here, because it used to be when we had three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, that in fact that their news division on a regular basis, if they broke even, they were happy. They were tickled pink. As long as their programming and entertainment and other things that they did,
there you go,
were making a profit. They basically said early on that, look, if the news division, it's a money, it loses money. But they were still willing to do it because they recognized that was an integral part of their structure. They did the news. So it wasn't there to make money. If it broke even, double plus good. Well, what does CNN have? CNN is the communist, what does it even stand for anymore?
Cable News Network.
Oh, thank you very much.
Initially.
But where is the other revenue for CNN when they're bleeding listeners right and left? People aren't watching them anymore.
Well, then your other suggestion that there's subsidies coming from somewhere.
Somewhere.
Some person. We can speculate, but that would be the only way to make it work on a money-in, money-out budgetary basis. And it would be a combination of that and the fact that they need to control public opinion. It's such a vital thing that they're willing to lose lots of money doing it so they can keep other things operating, the central banking system, the creation of currency, the warfare state, the big defense industries, all the things that put airplanes in the sky, boats in the water, and interest-bearing credit in our wallets and purses. So, you know, first they captured the money, they captured the media right about the time they captured the money, with the Pulitzer and William Randolph Hearst wars, who could be the first to get us into war, who could be the first to get us into the Spanish-American War. They didn't care about who really blew up the the Maine and Havana Harbor. They claimed it was Spain. To this day, it was never proven that it was Spain. And so on and so forth. So control the narrative goes back to Horace Greeley, got us into the Civil War, was calling for Southern blood before Lincoln had even raised an army. The media has been weaponized at least since the 1860s. That's before the creation of the Federal Reserve. So they actually began to control the narrative before they controlled the money. Then once they had that, education became a fair game, especially primary and secondary education. We have kids that are acting like uncivilized barbarians, carrying out the felony crime of murder in our schools. What are they being taught? What aren't they being taught? It's awful.
There's a whole lot they're not being taught and a whole lot that they are that they shouldn't be in the business of doing. One of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, public education, free school. And look what they're doing it for. The reason why the communists wanted the control of the education in this country, to use it as a transmission belt for the propaganda. By the way, if we're lucky today, the only thing that people know about Horace Greeley, he made the statement, "Go West, young man." And that's it. Nothing about the Civil War, nothing. It's an informational vacuum. That's what we're here to fill.
Historically and currently, too.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me on what has come to be, been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day, someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas.
I think somebody heard the song Texas, so they decided to do some shootings down here.
You never know.
You know, Mark, I have had people actually say to my face that I don't believe anything anymore. And it took me aback, because there are truths, and then there's the knowns and the unknowns, and there are knowns that we know that we know, and there are unknowns that we know we don't know.
There are mysteries.
Yes. But to me, that's intellectual laziness. That's casting it aside, because now you're telling me you have cognitive dissonance, and you've just shorted out, so you just gave up. You just gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there are truisms. Water's wet. The sky is blue, except for when chemtrails and heavy overcasts and rain showers. I play a weatherman on radio, by the way.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Yeah.
There are immutables. There are constants. And people have forgotten, I guess, some people have forgotten how to apply that to their daily lives and trying to move through this morass of lies we live in inside this country. I enjoy your passion, because I share the same thing that you do. Your drive is for stories, truths. Let's ferret this thing out. Let's take a look at the inconsistencies, just as you did with the Austin Un-American Statesman. I mean, you got half that newspaper yellowed in.
Well, one thing, yeah, and just to accent this, we have Greg Abbott, again, a respectable governor, has sent some troops to the border. Pretty good thing to do. But we have him and others saying that with this Dimitrios Peyotis, the accused shooter at this Santa Fe school not too far from Galveston, we have them saying that they didn't see this coming. There were few, if any, signs, except to say that he wore the long trench coat, which was associated with shootings at Columbine in 1999,
right.
The high boots, the quiet, withdrawn behavior, and talking about an affinity for guns, never talking about using them in an act of aggression. But he actually did fit the general profile of the antisocial, you should keep an eye on this guy kind of teen. The long black trench coat and so on.
Yeah.
And, you know, this speaks of the need for dress codes as well as guarding the schools with the way David Thweet does up in Herald School District. You just tell the kids, very simply, there will be no long trench coats. The girls will wear no long skirts. There will be no rings in the nose. There will be no pants falling down to the knees. It ain't going to happen anymore.
Well,
we need to return some discipline to the American system while we figure out these deeper mysteries.
Well, and there was just recently an Army Ranger on Fox, and this is one I'm sure they wish they didn't air. He said, look, he said, you can harden the places, make them like little prisons. Have you seen what they were doing with these kids? Frisking them all down, going through their backpacks. I wonder if that's where their cell phones went. But talking about hardening the schools and limiting access and basically turning the schools into a prison, this Army Ranger said that's not going to do anything. You think that's going to stop this? It's a decay of the psyche of Americans that you're witnessing.
A moral and intellectual decay. The civilization of people, their civilized behaviors being eroded.
Hour two coming up.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s.
along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.